FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, October 14th, 2024, episode 14 here. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg DFS, joined as always by my co-host Mike Randall at Randall Rant on Twitter. Mike, we are 8 days away from the NBA season tipping off. Jumping into our division by division breakdowns here today on the Fast Break. How was your weekend?
Very good. Can't wait. Been looking at division, seeing the players going. We had some off the court issues as well to round this out. Today, the college basketball betting preview drops. We're in Big 12 area. It's NBA time. It's mid-October. Ready to roll, Zach. Can't wait to get into this one with you.
I can't wait to see that college hoops content. But let's jump into this one because a lot to get through here today on the Fast Break. Two pieces of news before we get into our divisional breakdowns. First, this one hits close to my heart, Mike. Danny Green retires. Fourth player in NBA history to win titles with three different franchises. At the time, back in 2013, set the NBA Finals record for made threes in a final series in 2013. $104.6 million in career earnings, of course, spent time with Cleveland, San Antonio, the Lakers, the Sixers, Toronto, and Houston. Again, I think we all kind of knew this was coming. Wasn't at the front of anybody's minds, but Danny Green had his day last week. So salute to one of my favorite players from my favorite team's most recent title run.
Yeah, Danny Green, basically a different version of PJ Tucker. What I mean by that is these were big-time scorers in college. Danny Green with North Carolina, and then ended up morphing himself into a player that has a role. He's a shooter, can get some rebound steals. Defends as well, and he did a great job. Cleveland, San Antonio, Toronto, Lakers, Philly, Memphis, Cleveland, back to Philly, of course. Love Danny Green. You can't be upset with someone who has spent all those years in the NBA and been extremely successful. Shout out to Danny Green, 40% from three-point range on 8.7 points per game. He found the role. He did it well. Hats off to him, three-time NBA champion.
Yeah, came a long way after that first year of just kind of being the handshake guy for LeBron in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Other piece here, Shams Charania. As we speculated, I think kind of the basketball world was speculating that Shams might be the one to take over Woj's mantle there as senior NBA insider at ESPN, and that news did come across late last week. So follows those few weeks of speculation following Woj's retirement and the release of Zach Lowe, which I don't honestly remember if we talked or not about on the Fast Break here, but that was an odd move at the time. Makes a little bit more sense now, I guess, considering the contract that Shams probably got from the worldwide leader here. So I guess my question is, where do we see Zach Lowe ending up? I think the two that stick out to me are maybe he fills Shams' spot at the Athletic, or maybe he reunites with Simmons over at the Ringer. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's going to go with Simmons over at the Ringer. Zach Lowe used to be a teacher in Creskill, New Jersey when I started there. He was there for a half year, ended up moving up to a different school, and then going on now to this incredible career. Zach Lowe is a great NBA mind. I think he's getting back together with Simmons. That's what I would hope. That's where things really grew for him. And it's just there's no one who I think is better than he is. And cheers up to Shams. We need to replace Woj with a big name. We can't go with someone else who's sort of low-key. It's not going to work. So this is the only move here. And connections are connections, Zach. And that's what Shams has. People pick up the phone. That's 99% of it. And no one does it better than him. So happy for both as well. And I hope Zach Lowe's going to the Ringer with Bill Simmons. That's where he should return back to his home.
Yeah. Reunite with Simmons, right? Give me Jacoby. Give me Jalen Rose. Bring back that NBA Grantland content. Give me those guys together. Let's jump into the division previews here. We'll start in the East. And again, going to run through these as we do kind of quickly, you know, really kind of be clear and concise with our takes here on these divisions. We'll start in the Atlantic, of course, Boston, New York, Brooklyn, Philly, and Toronto. Last year's champ, of course, the Celtics, 64-18, en route to another NBA title. Some of the notable additions and departures in this division, of course, Paul George, maybe the free agent acquisition of the summer, going to Philadelphia. Mikal Bridges, the trade in the middle of the offseason, then Karl Anthony Towns, both of those guys with the Knicks. Mikal Bridges, of course, going intra-division from Brooklyn to New York Tobias Harris now in Detroit, leaving Philly. And I guess, especially after last night, gotta mention Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle on the way to Minnesota. So we'll go through all of these divisions. We'll talk about the additions, the departures, give our prediction for the division winner, and a hot take for that division. So I'll start with our predictions here, and I think we're in lockstep. Very simple for me. Boston to repeat as Atlantic Division champions. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, I want to say someone else, and I want to say the Knicks. They were up by so much, 14 games. Dominated. I do think the depth hurts him a little bit this year. Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser are going to be the main players coming off the bench, and no Porzingis until December 1st, maybe January even. We don't know. So do I think Boston's going to win? Yes. Do I think the Knicks are enticing at plus 260 on DraftKings to the win division? Yes, I do. The question is, will the depth, will the Miles McBrides of the world be able to produce and provide enough rest for, you know, what Tibbs is going to do with those starters? So it's the Celtics. If I had to make a choice, put a gun in my head, that's who I'm taking. But I do like the Knicks, and I like that value because I think there's a path where, you know, one injury goes the wrong way here, Celtics struggle, Knicks can take that leap and move forward with the addition of Karl Anthony Towns, of course. So Celtics, yes, but closer than you would think.
Our little hot take action here in the Atlantic Division. I don't think this is scalding hot by me here, but give me three 50-win teams out of this division. We were just three games shy of that last year, Philly finishing 47-35. You mentioned the Knicks, 14 games back of Boston, still 50-32. I think we get all three of those teams over that 50-win mark this year. And of course, Brooklyn going to be competing maybe with their division mate Toronto there for the worst record in the league. I do think Toronto will be a little bit better than that. But the bottom end of this division, certainly the dregs of the association this coming year. What's your hot take for the Atlantic?
Yeah, I think the Nets, obviously, forget it. The Raptors, I think, will be more competitive, but not a threat for the division. And I just don't think the way Joel Embiid is talking, Zach, that the Sixers are going to really focus enough to try to win the division. Their focus is the playoffs. Joel Embiid has said that. We wanted to hear him say that. So how many games are we going to get of George and Maxey Embiid? I don't know, and I don't think that's enough. That's the issue. My hot take for this division would be that the Knicks finished less than five games back. Boston won the title. They're certainly going to rest players and try to be focused for the postseason. If they get a 1, 2, or 3 seed, I don't think it's a huge deal to them. And like I said, Jaylen Brown even said, you know, when we play Detroit, we're going to play through Peyton Pritchard. I mean, everything they're saying is hinting at the fact that fans should not expect the regular season success they had last year. Him and Sam Hauser, I think this is a single digit difference between them and the Knicks. Would not be surprised to see the Knicks win it or finish 3 or 4 games behind them in the division.
When you mentioned Embiid there, kind of to start off your hot take segment, and just in the last hour, Twitter accounts and things getting disseminated from a Tim Bontemps article this morning about just what you said, that Philly not going to focus as much on the regular season success, that the goal is getting to the NBA Finals with a healthy Joel Embiid. And Embiid was quoted in that article saying, if I had to guess, I would probably never play back-to-backs the rest of my career. So just real quick, update on those best ball ranks has already gone out this morning on FT and Fantasy. Joel Embiid dropping down the ranks there behind a couple of those wings at the back end of the first round. Jump back to the real hoops here. We'll leave the best ball for our Friday stream. Central division here, Mike. Milwaukee, Cleveland, Indiana, Chicago, and Detroit. Of course, last year's champion, the Milwaukee Bucks, but 49-33. Just a game above the Cavs and just 2 games above the Pacers. So this was the second most competitive division in the NBA last year. Notable additions, Josh Giddey, of course, there in Chicago. Alex Caruso, now in Oklahoma City. Gary Trent Jr. signs on with the Bucks to start at the 2 spot for them. Tobias Harris comes over from Philadelphia, lands in Detroit. And, of course, Buddy Hield out of Indiana, now with Golden State on the West Coast. So who do you have taking home the Central Division this year? Certainly more competitive last year than the Atlantic.
Indiana. I think Indiana took the leap last year. They own the Bucks. They play well against the Bucks. And I have told you when we did our best ball streams, I'm concerned about Chris Middleton's health. Dame and Giannis are not constructed with that team to have massive regular season success. They got off to the great start. Then Doc Rivers came in. Then they struggled. Then they rested players. And Chris Middleton needs to be healthy. They can easily be a 5 seed or a 4 seed or something like that and finish not first in this division. I like Cleveland as well. I just like the Pacer firepower. I think Halliburton is ascending in the way Jason Tatum did. They have the depth. They have the coaching. I like the Pacers here. Did a fantastic job in the in-season tournament, and they match up very well against the Bucks. So that's my pick here for the division.
It's a great call about the matchup, especially last year, right? The Pacers dominated that matchup in the regular season. So I like the call. I still am sticking with, at least for one more year, with the Bucks. But again, like you mentioned, it comes down, and we've talked a lot about Chris Middleton. It's going to come down to his health. How effective can he be? Can Damian Lillard bounce back? Will Giannis retain kind of the status that he has as a top three player in this league? We know there's some young guys nipping at his heels. So I will also mention, though, I'm intrigued by the Cavaliers, right? Because the Cavaliers were sandwiched in between these two teams, just one game back of the Bucks last season. You've got Coach Kenny Atkinson there now. If you can if you get a healthy season out of Spider Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, right? If you don't have to see too many Caris LeVert starts for this team, it could very well be Cleveland. So I think the value in the futures market is with your pick, the Pacers, and then my intrigue around the Cavs. Not a ton of value there with Milwaukee, but I still will give the Bucks the edge there, the slight edge there in my prediction.
Put it this way. You look at the betting odds right now on DraftKings. Bucks are -145 to win the division. Cavs are +250. Pacers are +390. Without a doubt, the third bet I'm making there is the Bucks. I'll take the Cavs easily over the Bucks for all the reasons you said. Bulls and Pistons, not even worth mentioning here. But the odds on Pacers and Cavs make it completely a better value than on the Bucks at -145.
Absolutely. What's your hot take here in the Central Division, if you've got one? We don't want to force it, but, you know, we're opinionated.
The Bucks finished third.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've seen a veteran team like the Miami Heat come in as the 8 seed. So is there a world where Giannis gets injured or Dame gets injured and Middleton is up and down coming back and they go through the defensive struggles that they had last year and they just say, you know what, let's get it together and get ready for the postseason? Could absolutely happen. It's not that you don't want the higher seeds. You don't want the home court advantage. But what this team needs, and they got that one title, which they needed because Kevin Durant's toe was too big, fine, is they need to be healthy and firing at all cylinders. And they were not last year, and that's what cost them. And that's what their mindset is, that if we were healthy, we could have made a run. So they are going to err on the side of caution. And I could see the Cavs getting off to a great start, the Pacers winning the division, the Bucks being up and down or having a slow start, and then not being able to make that ground up throughout the year as an older team. So Bucks finished third in the division. Doesn't mean they can't make a deep run in the playoffs. It just wouldn't surprise me.
I like it. Mine, I'm going to the bottom part of the Central Division here, talking Bulls, talking Josh Giddey. I wrote him up as my pick for most improved player again. And it takes a lot for me to put somebody else over my favorite player on my favorite team. Victor Wembanyama is the favorite to win most improved player. But I think the value is with Josh Giddey. It is still a little bit of a logjam personnel-wise in that Chicago backcourt. Giddey, of course, alongside Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu. We got news this morning. Lonzo Ball will make his preseason debut on Wednesday. That will be nearly 2 years since he last stepped on the court. So if Lonzo's back, of course, we've talked about Lonzo and how awesome it will be to see him get back out there. But I think Josh Giddey takes over this backcourt as the season progresses. I think we're going to see statistical improvements across the board, kind of wiping away the statistical downturn we saw last year in Oklahoma City. I don't think we're going to see minutes limited because this Bulls team really not playing to win, right? I mean, they're going to play to win, I guess I should say. They don't have any delusions of grandeur here that they're going to be competing for a title, maybe the back end of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But I think Josh Giddey is going to be allowed to kind of take the keys, to this Chicago backcourt. I think he's going to earn a new long-term contract with the Chicago team. And I think this time next fall, Mike, we will be talking about Josh Giddey, franchise player for the Chicago Bulls. Any additional thoughts there before we move on?
Yeah, I did a fantasy draft this weekend with my family that we do every year, and I grabbed Josh Giddey for that reason. You have convinced me. Everything you said about him, it sticks in my head. I'm waking up in cold sweats with a nightmare thinking about this, that somehow I'm missing the boat here for a player who disappointed last year but now becomes more of a leader, more of the facilitator for the Bulls. Big, big step up for him. I agree. I think it's a great call.
Finishing out the Eastern Conference, of course, the Southeast Division here, Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Washington. Last year's champ, the Magic, 47-35. Just a game above the Miami Heat last season, and then there was a 10-game gap between the Heat and the rest of this division. Some of the notable additions, you get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope coming to Orlando, solidifying that backcourt, the wing defense, spreading the floor, right? The shooting struggles, well-documented for this Orlando team last year. Dyson Daniels comes to Atlanta in the DeJounte Murray trade. Jonas Valanciunas and Malcolm Brogdon end up in Washington. And, of course, DeJounte Murray out of Atlanta. Caleb Martin out of Miami. And Tyus Jones moves on from the Wizards to the Suns. This one's simple for me. Orlando is a team that is ascending. Miami is a team that I think is stagnant at best. Still pretty much a lock for postseason play to me, but I think this is pretty obviously to me the Magic's division to lose, and may be so for the foreseeable future. You have a different take there, or are you riding with me on the Magic?
No, I'm riding. When we get to the hot take, you'll see how much I'm riding the Magic. Okay. They are ascending. The Heat are going the wrong way, losing those sort of fringe players, those glue guys, was going to be critical for them, trying to replace them. Hawks, not a team going the wrong direction, no DeJounte Murray anymore. I think the Hornets could surprise and could be dangerous, and Washington is going to be what they're going to be. And can we get Joe Val to get us enough stats that he's fantasy relevant for us? That's the key. Can he be the stat producer on a bad team? But is the Magic, I'm all in. The three things you want to do is you want to win at home, you want to beat teams you're supposed to beat, and then beat teams you're not supposed to beat. Magic last year did a nice job. Magic were 29-12 at home, which was great. 32-20 in the conference, only 18-23 away. I think you get over a 500 record this year for the Magic, and I think they're dominant at home and take that next step moving forward.
So what is the hot take? Because I think we're both on some Orlando hot takes here. Like, how high are you on this team? I want you to go first.
Magic reached the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, yeah. That's so very high.
Yeah, very, that's how high I am. For me. Right, yeah. So the Bucks fall back. The Magic end up stepping forward. They have a better team than the Cav team the last few years that sort of flirted with making a deep run but just didn't have enough offense and consistency. They get a home court advantage again. Fans are there. That's my hot take. They make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I think that lines up with kind of my take here. Mine was Orlando finishes with a top two seed in the East. And of course, getting that home court advantage until the conference finals would go a long way for a young team like that. So both of us very high on Orlando. What do you got?
Yeah, interesting one point here. So on DraftKings, the Magic are only minus 155 to win the division. I still like it. That's how confident I am in the Magic. Yeah. You have minus 145 for the Bucks. Not confident at all, but I'll pay the juice here because I think they're going to get it. I still think there's value at minus 155. It got down to minus 175. Of course, I'm off of it, but I still think there's value even though the number is low.
Yeah, because I think really Miami is the only threat, right? Like Atlanta might hang around 500 and make some noise trying to get into that play and maybe try to reach that sixth seed. I don't see it. Charlotte and certainly Washington not in the mix. Charlotte, I think, at least a year away from making some real noise. And like you said, like Miami, again, like they're going to put a little bit more emphasis, I think, on the regular season this year, in particular Jimmy Butler. Like you've seen some of the media day stuff with Jimmy. He's not coming in with a crazy hairdo or piercings or any kind of joking around like he typically does. Pat Riley made the comments after last season, right, that we got to take the regular season more serious. But again, I just don't see the Heat being anything but stagnant. I'm with you. I think that's a very solid bet. If you're looking for a favorite, right, to eat that juice there, I'm with you.
Yeah, the Miami Heat have only hit 50 wins one time in the past 11 seasons, and yeah. I think you're going to need 50 to win this division. So I see Orlando as a comfortable one here.
Yeah. Let's head out west now. We'll start with the Northwest Division. That's where the conference favorites reside. OKC, Denver, Minnesota, Utah, and Portland. OKC, of course, the champions of the Northwest last year, 57-25. But Denver had the same record. Minnesota was a game behind. And then there was a 25-game gap to Utah and another 10 between Utah and Portland. I don't think much changes in terms of the hierarchy here. I think there's that clear three-team group, and then Utah and Portland absolutely going in the tank for this loaded 2025 class next summer. So I'm going right back to OKC as my prediction. Of course, got rid of Josh Giddey, bring in Alex Caruso, Isaiah Hartenstein in free agency. Minnesota, though, right, a game behind them last year, make the Karl-Anthony Towns trade, bring in Randall and DiVincenzo. And then, right, for Denver, losing KCP and replacing him with unproven Christian Brown, Julian Strother, of course, both of those young guys were on the roster last year, but that's a big question mark, I think, for a lot of folks when looking at KCP and looking at those bottom two teams. Really, Danny Avdija, kind of a notable addition there for the Blazers. But OKC, for me, I think, win the division, one seed in the West. This team is going to be a juggernaut for, I think, a number of years to come.
Yeah, Sam Presti put the time in, and now he's enjoying the fruits of his labor. Even at minus 125, no problem. I think they win the division. What I think with the odds is strange to me, Zach. The Nuggets are plus 330. The Timberwolves are plus 250. I understand that they've made the moves, and you have DiVincenzo and Randall coming in. If that's a positive in terms of their odds, but you're going to give me the Nuggets at plus 330. I would go OKC, and then I would bet the Nuggets second, and then the Timberwolves third. I'm not sold on the Timberwolves yet that these moves are making them above the Thunder, making a move to go deeper in the playoffs. I don't see that. There's a big change by losing Karl-Anthony Towns, even though he would be benched for long stretches. Not right even at 50 points. Remember, he'd be benched in the fourth quarter. But the odd difference is because of Jokic is too much. And Jokic can make role players and can make Westbrook easily like a sixth man of the year. He can do that. He's that good. So, yes, Thunder for me, but plus 330 is very frisky for Denver.
Yeah, that'll take me into our hottest takes for the Northwest Division here. And mine, again, I don't think this is a super hot take, but give me the Thunder for most regular season wins in the league. Plus 370 on DK. To me, if I'm looking for something out of this division, that's where I'm going on DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, 57-25. So they were seven games back of the Celtics. But again, no Porzingis for the first couple months. OKC is going to have to contend with the tougher top end of the Western Conference relative to the East. So give me OKC most wins in the regular season, plus 370.
Yeah, give me Russell Westbrook to win sixth man of the year. He has the MVP. He's a nine-time NBA All-Star. He's been the All-Star Game MVP twice. All of those things, I think we see the best of Russell Westbrook that we've seen since he's gone into sort of the ancillary role. I think he learns the playoff of Jokic. I think he leads. He brings energy with that second team. Everything that didn't happen that we wanted to happen with the Lakers, I think happens here. I love him with Jokic. I think we see the best season we've seen in a long time from Russell Westbrook. Would love to grab him as sixth man of the year, trying to get his numbers up here. But I think he's going to be excellent and is going to have a huge role in Denver. I expect Denver to finish second in the division, and I think Russell Westbrook is going to be a big reason why.
Yeah, and is this the toughest division, or is it the Pacific division? Because last year in the Pacific division, of course, we've got both LA teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, the Suns out there in Phoenix, Golden State Warriors, Sacramento Kings. Mike, last year, the worst team in this division was 10 games over 500. Just five games separated first place Clippers from last place Warriors out in the Pacific Division. Of course, Clippers 51-21 last year. But I think the arrow pointing down for the Clippers in kind of the general consensus of the NBA fans. Notable additions in this division: Tyus Jones to Phoenix coming from Washington. That was a big underrated addition in free agency kind of late in the process. Of course, the highest profile acquisition, I think, in this division is DeMar DeRozan going to Sacramento. Then the Warriors adding a number of veterans to their depth chart: Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton, and slow-mo Kyle Anderson. In terms of departures, we talked about Paul George going to Philly earlier. Harrison Barnes traded to San Antonio. And, of course, some big names departing Golden State, Klay Thompson and Chris Paul on the outs in Dallas and San Antonio, respectively. How do you see this division playing out, Mike? Because this was the toughest division last season. And I think, despite some of these teams maybe trending downwards going forward, I think it's going to be tough again.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I have some strong opinions here. Number one, forget the Lakers. They're not built for the regular season. I know they're only four games back. They're 47-35 behind the Clippers. I agree with you. The Clippers are trending down. The two picks to me in this division, either you're going with the Suns at plus 205, but the one that I choose are the Kings at plus 290. I think they are very much like the Pacers in the East. They're assembling parts. DeRozan now coming over, learning to – Sabonis never gets off the floor. He plays – we're just talking about how great he is in fantasy because he plays those four-game weeks all the time. I think they have the right chemistry. I think they made the right additions. Love everything here. I'm taking the Kings plus 290 to win the division. Yes, the bottom is going to be close with the Clippers and with the Warriors and the Lakers. I don't see the Clippers moving on. They made some changes. They have to keep the health, and we know that's always an issue with Kawhi. But no Paul George here, which is going to be huge. Give me the Kings at plus 290, although I will tell you, I think Budenholzer is the right coach for the Suns. That's what they need. They can't have a puppet coach. They need someone who actually knows X's and O's, and the Bucks certainly missed Budenholzer's defense when he left them. So I think he is the type of coach to take a team that's sort of floundering and get them to very good. Can he get the Suns over the hump to a title? I don't know about that, but I think he can get them to win the division. So to me, it's pick Suns or Kings, both of which giving you good odds on DraftKings, plus 205, plus 290.
Yeah, it's the Suns for me, and the Kings would be my second selection. So I think we're kind of locked in on these two teams in terms of the value for our division winner picks. But it's the Suns for me. Tyus Jones, like I mentioned, like I think getting a real true point guard into this lineup again, they are leaning in to being the most elite offensive unit in the NBA. And this is a unit that, despite, Mike, I want to say we could count on one hand the number of times that Booker, Beal, and Durant were healthy together last regular season. They still finished 49 and 33. If those guys can stay healthy, with the addition of Tyus Jones, with the addition of Coach Bud, right? NBA championship winning coach, even before that, this guy knows how to win games in the regular season, thinking back even before his time in Milwaukee. All those teams in Atlanta, right, that were 60 wins, 58 wins. I think there's going to be a ton of wins to be had here in Phoenix this year. And looking at some preseason action, right, we've talked a little bit about Oso Iguodaro. I still think he's a little ways away from being a meaningful contributor to this rotation. But Ryan Dunn looks like he's the real deal to me. If he can keep knocking down open shots at the clip that he has been over the last couple preseason games, Ryan Dunn might actually be a meaningful addition to this Suns rotation. Eighth, ninth man, that's huge for them, especially when you get to the postseason. But even just talking regular season wins, if these guys stay healthy, I think they are a runaway winner in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn really struggled at Virginia, but was a complete lockdown defender with his length and athleticism and can certainly finish around the rim, struggles on the free throw line, but the jumper is key. That's what Budenholzer does. And remember, he's got to get more out of Beal, Kevin Durant, those players, they're not going to be able to continue to play. You know, Durant plays a lot more games than a Kawhi Leonard or somebody of that ilk. So he's got to get help. And the addition of Jones at point guard is fantastic for them. It's the perfect facilitator, unselfish type of player. So yeah, they made some good moves here. They got it right, the Suns. I could see that as well. I like the Kings a little better, but the Suns are trending upward and have the right pieces, the right chemistry, the right culture there, and the additions of players who can make impact and have roles. Not nebulous roles, but defined roles, which is the key to winning.
Ryan Dunn versus Julian Strother late Sunday night was how Sunday night football. No, I'm not watching the Giants score 7 points. Give me Suns, Nuggets, Scrubs going up against each other. Strother, Dunn going head to head. It was fun to watch. Talking about our hot takes here in the Pacific Division, Mike, and maybe more of a hater take by me, but I like it. Give me the Lakers to miss the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
The last 2 years, right? Last year, 7 seed in the first round, but they were just one game above the 10 seed at the end of last season, right? And You remember LeBron had the minutes restriction at the beginning of the year? Well, that came off pretty quickly, and he had to play so much just to get that team to that point of the West. I don't think the West has gotten any easier. If anything, it's horizontal. We've got a couple teams ascending, right? Memphis getting guys back healthy, Houston growing. Wembanyama's got a couple real NBA players around him. Who knows if they can actually make a push for the play-in? But even the year prior, they were the 7 seed again, and they were just 3 games above the 10 seed in that season and just 1 above the 9. So I don't think the Lakers are moving in the right direction. And it doesn't surprise me if this is the year where they just can't get it done. And they even had some excellent, relative to his career, past career seasons with injuries. Anthony Davis was pretty darn healthy last year too. So give me the Lakers to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, brilliant call. I don't understand in the conference winner, Western Conference winner market, I don't understand the discrepancy. The Suns are a plus 1,500. The Kings are a plus 2,800. Now, I get it. The Kings going to the NBA Finals is something that would blow our mind, like the blow our mind gif. But I think there's a lot of discrepancy here, and that's a great call with the Lakers. They could easily go south. Bronny James, too much focus. It's just at some point, and you got everything you wanted out of Anthony Davis last year, they still couldn't get it home. I agree. Great call there. But you're looking for a market because you can hedge out. I mean, if somehow the Kings make the Western Conference Finals, you can hedge out and guarantee yourself a profit. 2,800 when the Suns are plus 1,500. Big discrepancy there for me.
I love it. One more division to go. Southwest division here. Down in my neck of the woods here, my Dallas, New Orleans, Houston, Memphis, and San Antonio, last year's champ, the eventual Western Conference champion, Dallas Mavericks at 50-32. Just 1 game separated Dallas from New Orleans, then an 8-game drop to Houston and an additional 14 games to Memphis. Then as one of those teams down there in South Central Texas, oh, it's the Spurs down at the bottom last year. Hopefully the last time for many years that my favorite team is in the basement of this division, Mike. But of course, notable additions for my favorite team. Chris Paul comes in there from Golden State. Harrison Barnes in the trade with Sacramento as well. Steven Adams, who we talk about weekly here on the Fast Break, joining Houston as a veteran piece, backing up Alperen Şengün. And then probably the highest profile player coming into this division in the offseason, DeJounte Murray, coming back to the Southwest division in that trade with Atlanta. Derek Jones Jr. out in Dallas, Najee Marshall in. And Najee Marshall is a dog, man. I actually don't know. I don't know if Dallas is going to miss a beat there on the wing. And Jonas Valanciunas out of New Orleans, of course, leaving them with a little bit of a lack of a front court at this point. What's your prediction here in the Southwest? Who takes it down?
Yeah, it's the Grizzlies, but I love this division. There's just so much drama here. You have the Mavericks, of course, adding Najee Marshall, huge subtracted piece from the Pelicans. Not only do you add him to your team, but you subtract him from the Pelicans. The Pelicans, I have a lot of questions on them. No center, their rebounding numbers, when you didn't have Valanciunas inside, were really struggling. You're putting a lot of faith in Zion Williamson, which you know I've gone back and forth with you about. When he's on the court, he plays well, but he's got to have that consistent success every game, which is something he has struggled with every year. So are the Pelicans really going in the right direction? Rockets were solid. I think the ceiling is capped for them, but I'm going with my Memphis Grizzlies. And yes, we're concerned about the G.G. Jackson injury. And yes, we're concerned about the Triple J injury as well. But when they're healthy on the floor with Bane and Morant, there is no team I see in this division that can beat them. Dallas is wonderful. Luka Doncic, they're going to save for the playoffs. I think 53-54 wins is what the winner of this division gets, and I think that's the Memphis Grizzlies. I understand there's the injury risk, Zach, which is why you're getting a plus 260 on DraftKings to win the division. The Mavericks are the favorite at plus 115. But I have a Ja Morant addiction. You know that when this team is healthy, they can roll. Give you Triple J back. G.G. Jackson comes back and he's okay. Vince Williams, I know there's a lot of questions here, but I'm going to take the Grizzlies at plus 260 win division.
I like it. Maybe your Ja Morant addiction is the same as my Zion Williamson addiction, because I'm taking the Pelicans here. Yep. Again, just 1 game back last season. And the last couple seasons, right? Year before last, before Zion goes down, I want to say in January, Pelicans were like a game back of the one seed last year. Again, still dealt with injuries throughout. I think they get it done this year. I think there's a midseason trade that helps to bolster their front court that we'll see. Maybe it's DeAndre Ayton coming over from Portland, but they just need bodies at this point. We hear the rumors that Willie Green is going to trot Herb Jones out there at center. you can miss me with that, man. You are playing the position that you can guard, and Herb Jones cannot guard centers night in and night out. But again, you add DeJounte Murray. If you can either move Brandon Ingram for a good return, or you can just bring him back into this group and make him a productive member of this rotation, DeJounte, Brandon Ingram, Zion, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, CJ McCollum off the bench, not to mention some of the other guys that they have waiting in the wings, Jordan Hawkins, Jose Alvarado re-upped on the contract extension. I gotta admit, I'm gritting my teeth to make this pick because neither of us are going with the team that just won the Western Conference. Yes. And is the favorite again in Dallas. But I think it's going to be very close, a very entertaining race for that top spot in the Southwest Division between those three teams.
What I've seen with teams like Dallas that have made the deep runs, I don't think, and I said this about the Celtics, that they prioritize getting over the hump and winning the regular season. I just see if it comes down to late in the year, I think winning the division would mean a lot more to a team like Memphis, who's been decimated in unfulfilled potential, or New Orleans, who was just one game away, than it is for Dallas. I just don't see the push. You want to get there. You want to get over the hump. Now the focus is different. Look at Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference. Are they going to win the division? No, because I just don't think they're going to go all out, and I don't think they have the pieces to do it. So it's a great call. My question to you, would you rather them trade Brandon Ingram, or and assuming that they can get something back that you'd be happy with, or keep him and make him a part of this when you make that pick? Which would you prefer for the division winner for the Pelicans?
I'd rather the trade, but again, it depends. First of all, I think none of us think that there's a market for Brandon Ingram right now, at least one that's going to bring you anything back that would be worth sending him out at this point. But if you can get two rotation players back for him, maybe some picks that you can flip, whatever. We just need usable assets, maybe a center. Maybe you can convince Portland, Brandon Ingram, and something for DeAndre Ayton. I'd rather get him out of there. We've talked about him, right? The voluntary team activities that they were doing out on the West Coast about a month and a half ago. He's the only member of the team that doesn't attend. You're planting the seeds for this to turn into something ugly. So I would rather get him out rather than try to make it work. But they probably don't have any other option but to try to bring him back in and make this thing work, at least to start the season. What's your hot take here? And let's go ahead.
You're getting a good number on it. Plus 380 for the Pelicans right now to win the division. Yep. They are third. My hot take, how about the Spurs to finish third? How about something happens with Houston and they bottom out and, you know, the Pelicans struggle or like, how about that Spurs not to finish last and actually be decent and competitive? I think they could really impress here. We've seen it with Cleveland years ago. We've seen it with Orlando. When they have a great player, they make the jump. I believe in Wemby and your Spurs as well. Who knows? Chris Paul wins in the regular season for sure. How about the Spurs to actually be this year's Houston Rockets and hover around the 500 line? What about that?
I'll just note to all the Fast Break listeners out there, I did not write that for Mike. Nope. He's doing it on his own. Mm-hmm. But I will continue the Sparkle Jerk here, Mike, because I'm letting it all out. Victor Wembanyama will have multiple triple-doubles with blocks. Mm-hmm. He will record multiple 5x5 games. He will win Defensive Player of the Year. He will win Most Improved just for this hot take scenario. He will finish top five in MVP voting. He will make All-NBA, All-Defense, and the All-Star game. And this time next year, he will be the MVP favorite in the betting market. There's my Sparkle Jerk for the episode. Didn't mention Wemby the whole time. Had to get it out at the end.
It's perfect. I get it. He's that good. And he's going to be playing more games. And you saw the impact. It's very reasonable. Yes, it's a hometown pick, but it's a reasonable hometown pick. And I'm objective. I'm here in New Jersey. I can say that. Well done, my friend.
All right, we'll close it out with a little stock up, stock down. We'll start with the stock downs. And I just want to talk about this craziness that happened over the weekend. I am not totally familiar with the beef between Sam Mitchell and Chris Miles. Chris Miles, again, this is to the best of my knowledge, looking through some of this stuff on Sunday as it unfolded. I believe the commentator and host and color commentator for the Warriors pregame and postgame shows on their local broadcast. And during the Saturday night game, there were multiple interactions, one where we're talking about salaries and complaining about that. And then Sam Mitchell doxes the address of one of Chris Miles' properties. I don't know if it was his personal home or a rental property that he owns, but just 110% out of line, awkward. I told you it made me want to curl up into a ball and throw my phone across the room watching that clip. And then the two guys release a video on Sunday morning acting all buddy-buddy. Miles goes over to Mitchell's house. They're smiling. That is equally as awkward and cringe. To me, that video was screaming, don't fire us. We messed up and we know it. But the whole thing was a bad look. So stock down to Chris Miles and Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, you have to be professional. We've seen there were baseball announcers recently, Zach, that ended up arguing on the broadcast as well. Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, enough of that garbage. There's a level of class and professionalism that you have to have here. Obviously, there's some bad blood, but it just kept going, and it was one-upsmanship. Neither one of them were going to back down, and it ended up going too far. They can throw that video and do whatever they want with it. We're not buying it. That was genuine, very unprofessional. Hated it as well. It's uncomfortable. You're supposed to make us comfortable, like the Inside the NBA crew. That's the comfort level we want. We don't want that. Obviously, they were personal attacks. Wouldn't be surprised to not see them back next year either.
Yeah. Well, I know your stock down in the NFL side is Nick Sirianni, but what about NBA for this week?
Listen, Dante DiVincenzo, take it easy, big guy. You had one run here, and I was a big fan of Dante coming out of Villanova. He solved John Beilein and kept Michigan from winning the title that year. Had a great game. But Dante, it's not like you have the street cred to be talking trash to Tibbs or Brunson, whatever. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care you're in his winning party. 15 points per game last year. Let's take it easy with the 43% from three-point range. You are due for some regression. Dante DiVincenzo could easily just fade into oblivion here and become an average player. He's not going to be dominating in Minnesota. So I would take it easy. You're not at that level. This isn't MJ. This isn't Kobe. So I didn't like him saying anything. It's Brunson's dad. Who trash talks someone's dad? You don't do that. People are going to say things. You have to ignore it. He's arguing with Tibbs. Well, 5 years from now, let's see how you did under Tibbs' reign and how you do with different teams here. So stock down for me on Dante. I don't think you're at the point yet where you could be making those comments. Let's take it easy, Dante. That's my reaction, Zach, when I saw it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, moving into stock up, I can say Dante DiVincenzo is my stock up. I loved it, Mike.
I loved it. But if you want me to be objective, take it easy. Yeah. But as a fan, more popcorn. Yes.
Right? Because, like, I mean, my stock up is December 19th, Knicks at Wolves. And then January 17th, Wolves at Knicks. Because if you did not see this on Sunday, Knicks and Wolves playing at Madison Square Garden, preseason game, of course, the first time Towns and DiVincenzo have the opportunity to go up against their former clubs. Julius Randle sat out with the shoulder issue. But I can't get enough of this, man. Just like, and it, I think I agree with you on the bickering with the assistant coaches, because it wasn't, there was another coach, it's escaping me right now who it was, but also, like you mentioned, Rick Brunson was there. Got those two guys had to be separated, Rick Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo. So I think that was where I could agree with you, stock down on going at it after the horn. With the assistants, especially when it's your best friend, college roommate, and teammate's dad. Like, you know, we can butt heads, especially in sports, right? We've got guys with big egos who are the most competitive people in the world, but you also have to know when you maybe step a little bit too far. So I can get with you on that, especially after the whistle. But, this Knicks and Wolves is going to be the exact type of NBA drama that I live for, right? We're going to take care of it on the court. We're going to be extra chippy. It's going to be great. I cannot wait.
Oh, no, it makes me want to watch it. I love it as a fan, but I always like to assess who has the right to say something here.
Sure, yeah.
And enough of that, Dante. You know, you're acting like you've been an all-star game MVP and multiple, you know, but yes, is it drama? I can't wait. And I just think that sometimes these things come back around. I don't think Dante DiVincenzo is having a massive year this year for the Timberwolves. My opinion.
We'll see. Maybe in those two games against the Knicks, though. He was pretty good last night statistically. All right, Mike, what do you got here? Stock up to close us out.
Yeah, a stock up for me is the NBA as a whole. It's just, I'm so used to the preseason where the players don't play. We've seen great performances, players are playing. You have guys going back and forth and then hugging after. The NBA preseason is one of the most underrated preseason sports because the players care and they play. I know that that's sometimes a criticism with the NFL. They don't play at all, but this was drama. And if you just looked at it, you say, wait a minute, how many minutes did he play? This is what we want to see. So stock up for the NBA with their lead up here. The way they do it in the preseason, I think it's best of all of sports. Great job, and we can't wait. Kick it off on the 22nd.
Yeah, with you. Love the preseason. Whether it's like these surprisingly competitive quarters have, sometimes full games that we get, to even some of the more like kind of chummy other kind of stuff, right? Like I think back to last year when I go see the Spurs play the Heat in the preseason. And of course, my first takeaway, I'm sitting there, I'm watching everything Victor Wembanyama does. And that was all fine and good. But where else are you going to see Julian Champagne and Justin Champagne guard each other on separate teams in the NBA? You won't see it during the season, maybe late April, depending on where each brother is playing. But you got to love the preseason. So I like that stock up. I second your stock up for the NBA as a whole. And that'll do it for us on episode 14 of the Fast Break. A little longer than usual, but wanted to get through all of these divisions quickly for all of you. Make some picks, have some fun. We are back next week. Of course, that will be the eve of the NBA regular season. So we will talk more futures picks, maybe some title picks, awards. We will take a little bit of a dive into the opening night DFS slate as well. Of course, you can get all of the NBA content continuing to ramp up here to the start of the regular season. My last Best Ball Diary article will drop on Wednesday. Our final Best Ball stream of the year will happen this Friday. So I hope to see you all there. Mike, anything else for you before we shut it down?
No, can't wait, man. We got through them all. A lot of drama, players moving pieces, which I love. I just think it creates more content for us here. Fantastic. Can't wait to get it started. We got that in college basketball starting on November 4th. Beautiful, beautiful month here we have.
Cannot wait. And another, a programming note, right? Next week, regular season starts Monday and Thursday schedule for the Fast Break coming up during the regular season. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same, and we'll see you back here next Monday for another episode of the FTN Fast Break podcast. Till then, he's Mike, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.